The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me a man comes who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "This is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the Gospel of the Lord. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Speak, Lord, in my speaking. Speak, Lord, in our listening. Speak, Lord, in our understanding. Amen. Since taking on the role of vicar of this parish, I've been trying to read more about leadership, a topic about which there is no shortage of books. As some of you may know, there's a whole industry in leadership studies. In my previous work as a philosophy academic, I actually helped out with some executive education seminars in which leaders from different organizations would come away to Cambridge University and have the opportunity to think about the ethical dimensions of their work. I won't name names, but it was easier with some companies than others. The Church of England expects ordinands, curates, vicars, licensed ministers, all in leadership positions, lay and ordained, to have a sense of their leadership style and to be intentionally reflective about the kinds of leaders they are. But it's not easy to do, and with all the different possible models and theories of leadership out there competing for attention, it can be difficult to know where to turn for guidance. For me, leadership comes from a sense of being called by God, of holding on to those words from the servant song of Isaiah, which apply to all of us. "The Lord called me before I was born, and he said to me, 'You are my servant.'" It's interesting to reflect on this image of the leader as servant, because servant leadership has become a popular model in recent leadership theory. This contrasts from top-down monarchical models involving the exercise of power by one person at the top of a pyramid. Servant leadership is about sharing power, putting the needs of others first, being committed to the growth and well-being and flourishing of the people the leader serves. The test of this form of leadership is said to be this: do those served grow as persons? Do they become wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants? And what is the effect on the least privileged in society? Will they benefit? Long before the phrase servant leadership became popular in the business world, the ancient wisdom of the prophet Isaiah has resonated with communities of faith, both Jewish and Christian. Isaiah's four servant songs, one of which we heard last Sunday and another today, are among some of the most beautiful, poetic, and inspirational passages of Scripture. Last week, we heard of the patient, merciful ministry of the servant who faithfully brings forth justice and cups their hand around even the dimmest wick to enable it to shine. Today, we hear the servant's own voice singing, calling people from far away to a vision of restoration, of universal salvation, reaching far beyond a particular people and place and stretching to the ends of the earth. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Some historical context is helpful for us to understand the passage. The servant is singing at the center between a community that is broken and divided. In the year 597 BC, Jerusalem was besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and many inhabitants of ancient Judah were taken into exile in Babylon, while some remained in Jerusalem. Those who found themselves in a strange foreign land wondered, how will we survive? How can we relate to others of different faiths and practices and beliefs? And those left behind in the wilderness littered by the ruins of war wondered, where is our hope? Has God abandoned us? And these problems seem all too contemporary. How do we survive as a community of faith in a secular age? How do we relate to others of different faiths and beliefs? How does this message of restoration match the reality of a world scarred by war and conflict? The servant stands at the center of a broken community, a broken world, restoring a sense of unity and hope, reminding God's people, reminding us that we are called and held by a faithful and loving God. There has been much scholarly debate about the identity of the servant. Is it a particular person? It might be a particular historical individual, perhaps the Persian King Cyrus, who allowed Judean exiles to return to their homeland in 539 BC. It might be the people of Israel themselves, called to be a servant people. And it's easy to hear the servant songs and draw parallels with Christ, the one who came not to be served, but to serve. The ultimate servant leader, the one who truly came to fulfill the prophet's vision of universal salvation, the one who is the pattern for all Christian ministry and all Christian living. At our Vision Day yesterday, we asked, how can we become a more Christ-like church for the sake of God's world? In our gospel reading, we are given a hint towards answering this question. The first thing Jesus does as he emerges from the waters of baptism is to call a group of people around him. He stands at the center of a community and he takes up the prophet's call. Rather than this being one person's task, this becomes everybody's task, to become a servant community, able to hear and hold this message of universal salvation and to share it with others, to say to them, come and see. A common theme that has emerged in my thinking about our vision and direction as a parish, which I think was confirmed at the Vision Day yesterday, is the invitation to look outwards. To look outwards in the way we serve others, gaining strength and purpose in the knowledge that our own individual lives are part of something bigger. To look outwards to our whole parish area and to ask how we can engage with all the many people who live in this parish and don't come to church on a Sunday, but who are the intended audience of this message of universal salvation. To look outwards to our whole world, the ends of the earth, as we think about our changing climate, our global interconnected world, our C.S. Lewis visitors from across the globe. And perhaps looking outwards is the key to understanding this model of servant leadership I have found helpful in all my reading and reflecting. A type of leadership which asks, do those served grow as persons? Do they become wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants? And what is the effect on the least privileged in society? Will they benefit? As we hear in our gospel reading, servant leadership is not just one person's task, it is everybody's task. Can we join in the song of the servant and be a light to the nations, that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the earth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.